It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody listening to the sound of my voice all over North America, East Coast, Down South, Midwest, everything in between. Shout outs to our friends in Canada and people listening in all type of ways I cannot even imagine, okay? I'll be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. The show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta, our producer holding it down in New York City, Ryan Botcher. Hey, we've already talked about a lot. We've been through a lot in the first hour of the show. Where have you been? We talked about Michael Parsons and his request to be traded from the Dallas Cowboys. He's sick and tired of being sick and tired. He's sick of Jerry Jones. Can't blame him. I don't think he's going to be traded. I think he'll still come to terms on a new contract, but might as well complain when you have the opportunity. It is Jerry Jones. Hey, we also talked about Rob Manfred. He says, you know, Bryce Harper yelling at me last week, not such a big deal. It was okay. Not as bad as it seemed. Had the Hall of Fame game last night. We'll talk about that in a minute. We have one guy who shined in that game. Shout outs to Trey Lance. We got the Hall of Fame taking place tomorrow. Man, we got four new dudes going into Canton tomorrow. Eric Allen, Jared Allen, Antonio Gates, and then Sterling Sharp. Hey, we got Lindsay Rhodes who's going to join us next. Well, damn it, next break, the next 20 minutes, she's going to join us to talk some NFL action. Hey, we still have to talk about Tua. Tua Tagovailoa, Tyreek Hill. Everybody is all kumbaya in Miami. Or at least they want you to feel like it is. Bill Madden is going to join us. Famed baseball author and writer will be here with us next hour to talk about the trade deadline. So much to do. If you want to be a part of the show, you can. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. If you missed last hour, simple. Hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. It's a free app. Did you get something free today? No? The app is free. Shout outs to people listening live on their local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You got SiriusXM, it's channel 375. And if you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. Wow. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. Hey, we got a bunch of people here who've been waiting patiently on the phone lines. Before we went to break, we talked a little bit about the Hall of Fame game. I mean, not the game, but the actual induction ceremony tomorrow night. I do want to get into Tyreek Hill and Tua Tagovailoa. Everybody's just like, oh, yeah, Tyreek is he needs to grow up and be a better teammate. Tyreek is like, yeah, I need to regain the trust of my teammates. Man, it's going to take to week, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 before they all hate each other's guts. I wouldn't be surprised, in all honesty, if Mike McDaniel got fired before the season ended. That's how disastrous I think things can get down in Miami. But we'll hear from Tua. We'll hear from Tyreek Hill. And we have a lot to get into. The phone lines are open again. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. It is the JR Sport Brief Show. Hey, let's go to Will. He's calling up from Myrtle Beach. The only Myrtle Beach I know is in South Carolina. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Will, what's up?
Hey, JR, good to be with you, man. First, want to say congrats to my boy Sterling Sharp. I'm a South Carolina grad, and I wanted to say congrats to him. But I wanted to call and get your opinion on something, maybe kind of stumped for one of my guys from the Dolphins, which okay. is Mark Clayton. And a lot of people don't know a whole, you know, he's part of the Marx Brothers, and I think he gets tied in with Duper a lot.
Yeah,
but standing on his own, you know, he played 10 seasons with Miami. He's got some really crazy stats. 550 career receptions, but he's got 92 consecutive games with a touchdown, 82 touchdowns overall. And 84, he came out in 83 out of Louisville and he got hurt. But when he actually, his first full year was the next year, and he had 18 touchdown receptions.
Well,
and basically
if Mark Clayton,
his first four,
if he was, you can stump for him. If he was a Hall of Famer, he would have got in, like, I don't know, two decades ago. Okay. You think he's a Hall of Famer?
Well, he's on the – I believe so. He's a semifinalist for 2024 class. So he's a semifinalist right now.
Yeah, but I think –
he led me
I believe – I mean, we can go on forever about his stats and his numbers. There's a couple of things here. I think – and you said it yourself, and this is what the hell they were called, the marks, okay? I think the fact that both him and Duper playing together and people just automatically look at Dan Marino hurt his cause right out of the gate. And I went back and I'm looking at his numbers right now. He had some amazing seasons. You know, 1984, 18 touchdowns, 1,400 yards receiving. The very next year, 904 touchdowns. I think the consistency throughout his career, even though he was durable and played the majority of the time, it's not there. His last 2 years, he trailed off. He finished his last season in 93 in Green Bay. His last year in Miami, he had 619 yards receiving and three touchdowns. I mean, he had some big TD years, and he had some years where he just had 4 and 7 and 3. He came back from 3 and had 12. And I don't think the consistency is there.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think if Marino and Mark, the Marsh brothers, would have won a Super Bowl, that the trickle down effect?
Yes, I think that, yes, man. I mean, the name of the game is to win. And if you're going to contribute positively to winning, then yeah. I mean, we bring this up, and he's a more recent example, even though it becomes less recent and recent, it feels like, every year. There are two reasons that Eli Manning is going into the Hall of Fame. And you know both of them, right?
Yep, the two wins. Yep.
That's it. Two Super Bowl wins and what he did to get them there. That's it. So, look, Mark Clayton might get into the Super – not the Super Bowl. We know that didn't happen. It's too late for that. Mark Clayton might right. get into the Hall of Fame. But look how long he had to wait. I don't think so. We'll see.
You don't think so?
No,
okay.
We'll see.
All right. I just wanted to throw his name out there because I don't hear a lot of people talk, you know, stump for him and some of his stats. I consider 84 his rookie year, 18 touchdowns. And that's the year that Marino threw for 5,000 yards.
Yes. But here's the deal. Mm-hmm. People talk about the winners. That's it.
Yeah.
Would John Elway's career have been the same if he didn't win at the end?
Yeah, you're right. Totally
I mean, different. Come on, man. It's just you win, you get talked about forever. You don't – look, hey, Derek Jeter is going to be talked about until the cows come home. Where's Nomar Garciaparra at? Where he at?
Good point.
I mean, come on. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Will. Appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir. Good talking to you.
All the time, man. Yeah, you got to win. Like, that's the end-all, be-all of everything. We just – Bacho, was it last week, 2 weeks ago, we talked about Phillip Rivers? 2 weeks ago, right?
It was 2 weeks ago.
Come on. If Phillip Rivers won a Super Bowl, anybody could call me, like, hey, JR, Phillip Rivers, a Hall of Famer? Be like, yeah, man, put him in.
First ballot, too.
Yes, come on. Ben Roethlisberger, in. Winner. Eli Manning, in. You want to know why? Winner. Phillip Rivers on the outside looking in. He could be great and good, but he didn't win. Winning helps. I don't know how we can talk all the stats and everything. Winning helps. It helps. I mean, if Nikola Jokic never won a championship, would he be looked upon the same way? They'd be like, oh, there's just another Euro guy who won the MVP. Come on. Here's a better example. Joel Embiid. He has an MVP. Are people going to look at Joel Embiid in a more favorable space, or is he going to be looked upon as a choke joke? I mean, come on, what are we doing? And his career is not done yet. And I can't even think about this. Oh, my God. Here's a good one for you, Botcher. Over here switching sports, but he's the first guy that came to mind. If Joel Embiid had to medically retire today, Joel Embiid's going into the Basketball Hall of Fame, right?
Because it's basketball, I would say yes. Any other sport, definitely not.
He's going in. he's going over because he came from Cameroon. He won an MVP. They're going to be like, oh, impact on African hoops in Cameroon. MVP, great player when he was healthy. He's gonna go in. Damn, that's crazy. His Hall of Fame speech is going to be a joke. Could you imagine? He's just going to be miserable throughout the whole thing, isn't he?
Probably. But either way, you look at his stats, too. Like, you can stat watch and see, like, oh, 30-point-per-game scorer, blah, 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 blah. At the same time, he does have 7 All-Stars, 5 All-NBAs, gold medal, too, because they count international ball.
That's right, yeah. So the, it's the, like, one that he just got from America?
And then missed the entire year for you.
Well, at least he's a gold medalist. He knows how to do it. But, I mean, you're talking about his numbers and his stats. How many games is he actually playing in a season? Come on now.
Yeah, I don't want to do the average. There's an average.
No, but I mean, year to year. Let me read this. We know he missed, what, the first 2 seasons of his life? Look at these numbers. This is pathetic. 31, 63, 64, 51, 51, 68, 66. I think that was the MVP year. 39. In this past season, he played 19 games. Like, who cares about how many all-stars? We know he's an all-star talent, but if I'm only playing the first half of the season and then I'm you know, taking games off the rest of the way because I'm busted up, Joel Embiid, he needs to do whatever Luka Doncic just did. And I can't believe Luka Doncic was on a Today show, and they asked him if he took Ozempic. Bacha, did you see that?
I didn't see that question, but doesn't Ozempic, like, isn't that technically a steroid?
So I don't
get suspended?
Know. I don't know. Could you imagine if Luka got suspended for all his weight loss, he took Ozempic?
Man. He would go back to where he was. He's like, I averaged almost a triple-double back last week.
Oh, you back to where he was as in fat. Oh, I thought you meant back as in, like, go back to Slovenia or something.
Oh,
like
no,
that.
No, no. He would regain the weight to prove people that he can still do it.
He asked him that on TV. Hey, you lost this weight. No Ozempic, right? He's like, no. And he's like, I'm not doing no more of this media stuff. This is why I don't do it in the first place. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Let's go to Rick. Rick is calling from Maryland. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Rick?
Pleasure talking to you again, JR. It's been quite a while. I really love your show.
Thank you.
Got a couple thoughts here. I was more impressed with Sterling Sharpe. I watched the game last night. Not only his career, but his demeanor as a person when he was being interviewed. I was very, very impressed with that man. And I've seen.
Oh, you're referring. Well, what happened? I'm sitting here on the. I'm on the air. I didn't hear what he said. I heard. Apparently, Mike Tirico wanted him to shut up. Did he talk for a long time?
No. That might have been Brent Musburger. I don't know.
No,
Sterling Sharpe was being interviewed by Melissa Starks.
Right.
And I really enjoyed what he had to say. And I looked. Well, he played 7 seasons.
What did he say? That's what I'm at. What did he say? I couldn't hear him. I'm working. What did he say?
Well, that was a game last night.
I understand. Well, yeah. Rick, I understand, but you're saying you appreciated what he said last night. I'm asking you, what did he say last night that stood out to you? Like, what was so notable about it?
I can't really describe it too much in detail because I can't remember. Seriously, just bear with me.
Right.
He just the way he was talking. His appearance, the way he looked, the smiling, how he appreciated playing football. That's one antidote. And all in general, just his gratefulness to play professional football.
Okay.
That's pretty much what he said.
Okay. But, well, there you go.
Yeah, you were referring to football players that are questionable going to the Hall of Fame. Well, I got one for you here, brother. Super Bowl III, I was 12 years old. Joe Namath.
Oh, my God.
I like Joe.
I was waiting when you said it. Oh, my God. Here we go.
Listen to me. He's thrown more interceptions than touchdown passes in his career, and he's in the Hall.
He won in a different era. It's a different era when Hold on, Rick. And I'm going to get back to this, and I must, and I'm not doing this because I don't want to have the conversation. I absolutely have to hit the break to get to our next guest.
Sure.
I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to answer this more later on this hour. He won. He won in a way unlike anyone has ever won at the time. He won in a different era where football was played in a different space. Rick, give this man wearing his stockings, throwing his touchdowns and his guarantee and his fur coats, give him a break. He falls into the same category, and I think I answered you kind of the same way. Thank you, Rick, for calling from Maryland. I do have to break. He's a winner. He won. That's it. You win. You win. You in. Okay. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to have a chat. We will be joined by Lindsay Rhodes from Sumer Sports. We'll talk all things NFL, get her thoughts on Micah Parsons and Tyreek Hill and everything going on. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We got NFL players who want new deals. We got NFL players who want new contracts. We got NFL players who want to be traded. And we've only had one preseason game. It's only August 1st. We got so much NFL news to get into. Joining us right now is someone who's covered the league. Someone right now covers the league from Sumer Sports. Joining us right now is Lindsay Rhodes. Lindsay, thank you for taking the time and joining us.
Hey, never a dull moment in the NFL, huh?
How about that? Did you request a trade today as well, like Michael, or no?
Well, if I did, I would only be guaranteeing that I would stay exactly where I am, because I think that that's exactly where all the rest of these trade requests are going.
Yeah, I hear. We heard this yesterday from Terry McLaurin. What are your thoughts on Dak? What are they going to do? Wait, not Dak, on Mike. Are they going to wait until what, the game day or 1 week into the season to get a deal done?
For which one, Micah or Terry, or honestly, right?
Both. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think in both cases, they get deals done. Not necessarily. I think they both end up staying where they are. I think that first things first, I don't think either team can even entertain a trade. Like, they're for different reasons, but I just don't think that. I think the trade request is literally just, okay, I'm finally pulling out the big guns here. This is the leverage that I have. Get it done, for crying out loud, right? Like, I think that that's what we're hearing from both of these players. I think that they're different in the sense that, like, Micah, we've seen the Cowboys play this way. This is how they play. This is how they do it. They did it with Dak. They did it with CD. They did it with Zeke back in the day. Like, they take it up to the deadline, and then they go to the top of the market, and they pay that guy exactly that. And they end up paying way too much for that person, because if they'd signed them when they could have signed them at the beginning of the process, the price would have been so much cheaper. Like, Micah has gotten so much more expensive since this offseason started. Since this offseason started, we've seen TJ Watt, Myles Garrett, Danielle Hunter, and Max Crosby all sign deals. All of them have gone top of the market. TJ Watt's now 41 APY. Prior to this offseason, Nick Bosa was the highest paid edge at $34 million a year. So you could have probably signed Micah Parsons at the beginning of the offseason for 35, just made him the highest paid guy. And based on the things that he said today in his statement, he probably would have signed that. Now it's contentious. You have to go to the top. There's no hometown discount. There's no conversation to be had there. You got to go over 41 a year and 108 guaranteed. And I think the only question that remains from a trade standpoint is whether or not Micah doesn't want to be there enough, because I kind of believe that he doesn't want to be there based on the things that he said in the statement. Would he turn down a top of market deal to force a trade? And I kind of don't think that that's likely to happen. Like, that's literally missing time and rolling a whole bunch of dice, which I kind of think he could. I think he could sit out the whole season and someone would just sign him next year to a top of market deal. He's that good. But I don't think that's going to happen. The Cowboys are clearly going to get this done. They're going to pay. We all know it. Just do it. Terry is different because I think that he sees himself at a value price point that I think the Commanders just might not see him. like if he wants $33 million a year plus, which is what DK got, which is what Schefter's reporting, then I think that it's entirely possible the Commanders are way off that, because it just doesn't really make sense from a statistical standpoint to slot Terry in at that price point. I think I would argue that I don't think it's a particularly great deal at the Steelers side for DK. And so I get Washington not wanting to chase that. So that one, they might be really far apart, and I could see that becoming problematic, but they also can't trade him because they're a team that's going for it right now. Like, what are you going to trade for picks? Like, in a year where you are trying to win the Super Bowl, you can't do it. Got to keep him around. Worst case scenario, tag him next year.
Yeah, bad idea, especially you got Jaden Daniels moving into year number two. We saw the success that they had. Lindsey Rhodes is joining us from Sumer Sports. He's kind of been pushed into the back burner amongst all these talks over the past few days. What are your thoughts on Trey Hendrickson? Apparently, like, they have to get a deal done as well. What do you think the holdup is there?
I think the holdup is that they probably want to build without him long term. Like, he's a little bit older from a pass rush standpoint. He's had these past 2 years have been very, very good. My guess is that the age is to a degree the holdup. Like, you want to ideally pay somebody for what they're about to do and not what they have already done. And you're at that point where it's almost like a tipping point of, is he going to start to decline now? And so do I want to lock him up for 4 years at this age, at this point, and pay for something that we're not going to get in terms of productivity? So I think that that one's potentially a tricky one in that regard. Also, you know, the defense was not good last year in Cincinnati. So you could make the argument, like, we need a lot of pieces here, right, for on defense. And when he was on the field having an all-pro season, that still wasn't enough to tip us over the edge. Like, we were still bad on defense. Now, the flip side of that for me is you certainly can't trade him. Like, you take him out of that defense. They didn't make that many changes this offseason from a personnel standpoint. So if you think that you're going to be better this year and you're going to lift Trey Hendrickson out of that, like, I don't know that I see that either. So I think they probably come to some sort of, like, Band-Aid deal that's a short-term thing that is not a long-term thing that lets him, you know, get paid for now, but he's probably looking for a new deal somewhere else moving forward, if that makes sense.
Well, Lindsey, you talk about the age of Trey Hendrickson. We got the oldest quarterback still running around out here. I mean, not Joe Flacco, but Aaron Rodgers. So far, so good. Things seem good in Pittsburgh. He's throwing flowers at the feet of Mike Tomlin. How long does this last, and what do you think this season ends up like for the Steelers?
I don't want to say anything super negative because Aaron's a tough one, right? Like, I think he's one of those guys that has a tendency to kind of rub people the wrong way sometimes when he talks. And then the whole going on Pat McAfee and all of this stuff. Like, I think there's a lot that goes with Aaron Rodgers. And at this point, I'm not seeing production on the field that matches what a team has to take on when they bring him in. So unless his persona is a little bit different, the way he handles that, the word I would use is self-awareness. He doesn't strike me as somebody that has a huge amount of self-awareness about the way that he comes across and what his media appearances, what they do to the team, like what it puts back on the team and what they have to handle as a result of all of that stuff. So from a statistical standpoint, last year, he did not play well. And I know some people will make the argument about the Jets and the pieces around him. I don't think that there's a way to take him out of that. Like, this is a guy who was 22nd in EPA per dropback. This is an efficiency metric, right? He was 25th in success rate. He was 34th in completion percentage over expected. He was 8th in passing yards. But he also threw the ball the second most time in the NFL. And if you break that down to yards per attempt, he ranked 28th. So, and then you could make the argument, like, that if it was about the offense, well, who had more power? Like, they bent over backwards to give him everything he wanted there in New York. And he called the plays that he played, that he called. Like, he could have checked out of them at certain times. Like, he had so much power there and it went the way that it did. So I am not entirely like a huge, hey, go get Aaron Rodgers. I don't think you're necessarily getting somebody that plays at the caliber of the Hall of Fame player that I think he will eventually be and that we will remember him as. I just don't think he's that right now. And I also kind of feel that like DK is a guy, like I said, with the contract, they went really high up for DK and paid him a lot of money. And I think that he's another guy who's kind of like a borderline. I think some of the stats that we saw from him last year were they don't match the reputation. I think I would say that. Like he was 71st percentile success rate, 71% success rate versus zone last year, according to Reception Perception, which is one of my favorite websites that tracks wide receiver charting. And that's the same historical range as like Jalen Reagor in 2020 and Devontae Parker. Like, yeah, it's not good company.
Yeah,
and
it's not.
Yeah. So I guess this is a very long-winded way of saying I'm not entirely optimistic about the Steelers, but maybe they will prove me wrong and the offense will work great.
Lindsey Roach joining us from Sumer Sports. I want to talk about a team also in Pennsylvania on the east side that happens to be the world champion, Eagles. There's been a lot of conversations over the past couple of weeks about Jalen Hurts and where he fits in. And is he where he is because of the complete team around him? Cam Newton is not too high on him. What are your thoughts on him and being one of the top quarterbacks in the game?
I don't know if I would put him in the conversation for the top quarterbacks in the game, but I also don't think it matters because he is on a team that does put him in that position. Like, this is one of those things that feels like a splitting hairs situation to a degree, right? Like, there's every quarterback in the NFL, save for a few. I think the environment is so, so important. That was the story of Sam Darnold last year when he went to Minnesota, right? Was like, he was a bust. Everybody talked about him as a bust. And then he finally was in an environment that was good, with good pieces around him and a competent play caller and coaching and all that kind of stuff. And we saw what we had hoped to see from him all along. So I think the fact that Jalen Hurts is in a good situation, he's going to continue to be in a good situation. They're certainly not moving on from Jalen Hurts anytime soon. I don't know that it matters so much if you lifted him out and put him on another team, if he would be in the Patrick Mahomes conversation or anything like that, because he's not. He's in the situation that he's in. And so I don't really enjoy those types of things because there's really no way to know it, you know? Like, he is definitely benefiting from playing in an offense where the coaching and the front office and the offensive line and the pass catchers and certainly the running back now, like, all of it is top-notch. There's no way that that doesn't elevate him as well. But there's also, it's really hard to separate him from that because there's so much that really just relies on your environment. Like, it all kind of goes together.
We know, Lindsey, that they're favored by a lot with that stacked roster to go out there and maybe potentially repeat as champions. Do you think the Kansas City Chiefs have fallen off? Who are you favoring in the AFC given what we have right now?
The AFC. Let's see. I mean, I don't think that you can. I would never bet against the Chiefs. I just would never bet against the Chiefs. I think that Patrick Mahomes, he did have a year that was not Patrick Mahomes like last year. There's just no way. Like, even all of the advanced stats that you know, nerds like me go through that track efficiency metrics and stuff like that. It's really hard to make an argument that he still absolutely was, you know, the best version of himself last year. Although there are ways, I suppose, that you could argue that what they were doing within the offense was just so different and that affected some of the efficiency metrics. Like the ADOT was super, super low. I mean, you look at the pass catchers going in and out of the lineup. And I think that I'm certainly optimistic that if they're able to get Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy and like get these guys on the field with somewhat more consistency this year, that they go back to being the Chiefs that, you know, we have expected them to be. But also last year, the way that they were all season long, not particularly impressive. They didn't blow you away and they were in the Super Bowl. Yeah. So I would never bet against them. The Ravens are another team, obviously, that you have to consider as being in that conversation. Probably can just go ahead and punch their ticket and schedule your playoff travel right now if you knew where you were going, because they're a fairly well-oiled machine. And Lamar Jackson last year, the steps that he took forward, particularly against the blitz, like he just last year, that was the one area that he really improved. Like he became just a monster against the blitz, which kind of leaves you as a defense in a position of like, what do we do? How do we attack him? And I don't know the answer. And so that's scary for years to come.
Well, final question for you, Lindsay. No mention of the Buffalo Bills?
The Bills also.
Okay.
I mean, it's very usual suspects, right? Like okay. We know that these teams, but also those are the teams, back to your Jalen Hurts, those are the teams that do have quarterbacks that are 100%, like they're in good situations, but Daniel Jeremiah, who I think is brilliant, talks about a tractor trailer conversation in drafts. Like when you're looking at a player, is this player a tractor? Are they pulling the team along with them? Or are they a trailer? Are they like going with, you know, if the environment is good, then they can go along with it. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, I would argue Joe Burrow. Like there are certain guys in the league that are certainly the tractors, right? Like they are 100% pulling everyone along with them. Josh Allen is obviously that. And I think as long as you have that guy, then the team will always be in the conversation.
We'll see. It's August 1st. We're going to blink. We're going to be staring at the regular season, but we already got all these stories, these hold-ins, these holdouts, these trade requests already all over the place in the NFL. Lindsay, thank you so much for the time. Please tell everybody where they can follow you, listen to you, all your work with Sumer Sports.
Yeah, we just brought the podcast back this week. It's the Sumer Sports Show with Sam Bruckhaus, who's one of our data scientists. We have so many scouts, former general managers, former coaches, all that kind of stuff on staff, along with the many data scientists. And so they'll be coming on a week-to-week basis, kind of rotating through with their expertise. And so that's the Sumer Sports Show. You can find that wherever you get your podcast.
All right, Lindsay, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy the football as it starts to trickle in, okay?
Woohoo! You too. Thank you for having me.
No doubt about it. That Lindsay Rhodes from Sumer Sports. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, I had mentioned a team earlier in the hour that I don't got no faith in them to do anything. They're a circus. They're a separate circus. They're SeaWorld. We're going to talk about the Dolphins on the other side of the break. And then when we get to the top of the hour, we got to talk about some of these things that ESPN is throwing on the television, that ESPN is streaming. And ESPN just picked up another big-time show. Well, working with a big-time league, I will explain. But right now on the Infinity Sports Network, it is time for a news flash. Here he is. It's Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Lindsay Rhodes for joining us from Sumer Sports. She was here with us in the last break to talk all things NFL. She, like I do, I think like a lot of people with a little bit of sense believe, ultimately the Dallas Cowboys and Michael Parsons will come to terms on a contract. Same thing with Terry McLaurin. Same thing with Trey Hendrickson. If you missed the conversation that we just had, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. I need to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Are you stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. If you want to call me and be a part of the show, you can do that too. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. I mentioned to you earlier this hour, amongst all the players that have been beefing with management, guys wanting new contracts, people requesting trades, we mentioned Tyreek Hill. It was only at the end of last season when the Dolphins finished 8-9 that Tyreek Hill stood at his locker and basically said, you know what, I need to go elsewhere. Like, I'm used to winning. We ain't winning, so I need to leave. Now, only days after that, still right after the season ended, he went into damage control. His agent Drew Rosenhaus when it's damage control. Oh, well, Tyreek Hill is passionate, and Tyreek Hill, you know, he didn't mean it, and he wants to be here. And then when the season got underway, or when training camp got underway recently, Tyreek Hill made amends. He's like, oh, I need to do better. You know, I was just passionate. I'm learning. I need to do better. I need to be a better teammate. I have to prove it to the guys. And Tua Tagovailoa last week, he pretty much agreed with them. He's like, yeah, the guy said he doesn't want to be here. He basically called us a bunch of losers because he's used to winning. And it takes a whole hell of a lot than just saying that to regain the trust of the locker room. Listen to what Tua had to say last week.
I would say we're still continuing to do that. But it's not just with me. It's with a lot of the guys. I'm not the only one that heard that. You guys aren't the only people that heard that. You know, a lot of people that follow football, that follow the Miami Dolphins, that follow Tyreek, that are fans of his, you know, everyone has seen that. So when you say something like that, it's, you don't just come back from that with, hey, my bad. You know, you got to work that relationship up. You got to build everything up again. And it's still a work in progress, not just for me, but for everybody. But, you know, like I said, he's working on himself. He's working on the things that he says he wants to get better with and do better on. So that's the first step to me. And so I commend him for doing that.
Well, that's nice. Hope, by the way, Tua, get better at throwing a football in cold weather, okay? I don't know if that'll ever change, but I digress. Tyreek Hill responded to what Tua said last week. Now, keep in mind, this is the apologetic, the warmer, the open, the better teammate. This is the best version of Tyreek Hill. This is what he had to say in response to Tua today.
Just trying to get back to, you know, that old form of myself, man. I think that's very important. And just holding myself accountable, man. I think, you know, Tua comments were needed, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he's obviously the leader of our team, so he sets the standard. So I'm just trying to be the best teammate, best version of myself for this team I can be, man, every day. Showing up to meetings, coming out here every day, busting my tail in practice. I think it's important, man. So if you want to be able to leave a legacy, you got to be able to, you know, consistently do those kind of things.
Oh, come on, man. Botcher, I'm giving him 6 weeks into the regular season. Six.
When's their first cold weather game?
Oh,
that's
boy.
The question. Because that'll be when it breaks down.
What, when Tua throws an interception and misses him?
Doesn't target him on a screen, doesn't see him on a route, doesn't get to play all the snaps. It's going to happen.
And then at that point, he's gonna do it on the field first. It'll be very quiet. It'll be very vague. He will, you know, have some bad body language with Tua. Let's see. When do things start getting cold? You want to say November, right?
Well, it depends where they are. So,
well,
like, late October, early November, depending where you are.
No, I mean, here, they got home games right before Halloween. Against Baltimore, Buffalo, and Washington. Those are all home games that basically take them up to Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving, they're going to be, and matter of fact, they host New Orleans. They don't have anything close to a cold weather game until the Dolphins take on the Jets on December 7th. And in the new world that we live in, there's no guarantee that that'll be a cold game. The first game that really might be cold outside of the 7th in New Jersey, the 15th against Pittsburgh.
So that'll be the day. They lose to Rodgers and Tomlin, and everything goes downhill from there.
Well, that'll be week 15.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that'll be week 15. They host Cincinnati at home a couple of days before Christmas. 3 days after Christmas, they host Tampa Bay. And in their final game of the season, which will probably, I think they'll be done by then, their season, they'll be in New England. That'll be the coldest game that they have to participate in, New England.
And even so, that game will probably be either or the Patriots playing for their wild card lives or Dolphins, maybe.
Yeah, and that'll be a game, that'll be after the new year. And so that'll definitely, more than likely, be a cold game. But it seems that the Dolphins, they got it pretty easy this year, unless they have to, go to the playoffs. They start at Indiana I mean, these are not cold. That's in a dome. They're at New England. That's early in the season. They're at Buffalo early in the season. They host the Jets. They're at Carolina. That's not cold. They host the Chargers. They're at Cleveland in the middle of October. That shouldn't be cold. They're here in Atlanta inside a stadium. They host, but yeah, man, they got it easy. They got it easy. They got it easy.
Am I crazy or the schedule is really good for the Dolphins this year?
Yes. I mean,
not
especially
just weather, it's just like all the home games stacked basically back to back to back to back.
Yeah, considering the weather, they have three straight home games and then they have a bye. This is before Thanksgiving. And even after Thanksgiving, they got four consecutive. They take on Baltimore, Buffalo, Washington, and then New Orleans, all from basically the month of November. They got it good. They got it good. They're still going to suck. And Tyreek Hill is still going to throw a fit. And then Mike McDaniel is still likely going to get fired. It's going to be a hell of a thing to watch down in Miami. Yeah, Tyreek Hill, you're right, Botcher. He might last until November before he throws a fit. I'm thinking this might be his last year with the team. I know he signed a contract extension, but when you start about leaving and not trusting the team, I think ultimately they're going to blow these Dolphins up, okay? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network, 888-710-4IS. And we're going to talk some more NFL, the Hall of Fame game, have a chat with Bill Madden about the Major League Baseball trade deadline. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, Infinity Sports Network.